Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Last of Us, Season 1, Episode 8, and Station 11, Episode 8, are both over, but we are just getting started, making them fight in the post-show recaps versus arena. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler. Welcome back to another round of PSR versus here in the Last of Us podcast feed on post-show recaps, where all season long we have been going up against The Last of Us and Station 11 side by side, a tale of two HBO pandemic apocalypses. It is drawing very close to the end of the line. This week we are in the penultimate week of The Last of Us, and we are in the antepenultimate episode of Station 11. It's a battle of the episodes 8, When We Are in Need, that's from The Last of Us, versus Who's There from Station 11, and knock, knock, who's there?
Latonya, it's that's a me. Cue.
Yeah, cool.
LT.
Yeah, you did it. Hey, it's Latonya Starks.
I'm here, everybody. Hey. Welcome back to Versus, where we talk about two different shows and make them fight.
We make them fight here on the Versus podcast. It's been really fun all season long, and it's getting really close to the end of things here on Lou versus Station 11. Of course, if you are not already subscribed to the podcast, what you doing? You should do it. You should go to postshowrecaps.com/versus for the RSS link for the Post Show Recaps Versus podcast. If you want to search by URL in your podcast player of choice, or you could just search Post Show Recaps Versus wherever you get your podcasts. You should subscribe to that feed, leave a rating and a review. It would be greatly appreciated by Latonya and myself. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to subscribe to that, because as The Last of Us is wrapping up, if you don't stick with me and LT, then you won't know where we're going next. We will be in another podcast feed or two beyond the Versus podcast feed coming next in a couple of weeks here. So get excited about that. Of course, you should also be plugged into everything we're doing with The Last of Us. PostShowRecaps.com/Lou. Same spiel, RSS link, search by URL, or search Post Show Recaps Last of Us wherever you get your podcasts. LT and I are talking about episode 8 this time around. We also have the First Play podcast still to come with Jess and Zed. And then we're in finale week, Latonya. We are
I'm like having an emotional issue with ending the coverage of these shows, because I just care too much about all of these characters, and Station 11 is just done after the next two episodes. Yeah. Like, we don't have another season to come back to. So I'm scared.
It's going to be great, though. It's going to be really, really wonderful. I'm really excited to close the book on Station 11. There are indeed two more episodes of Station 11 versus the one for The Last of Us. We are next week. The Last of Us Season 1 finale is going to have to go head-to-head against Episode 9 of Station 11 as well as Episode 10 of Station 11. So two different head-to-heads, and the finale has to hold it down for The Last of Us on both accounts.
I don't know if it's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to do it.
This could be the chance. This could be Station 11's shot. If Station 11 is not able to get it in this week, and we're going to talk about that. Of course, we will break down Station 11, but first, let's start with The Last of Us. We've already had a lot of coverage. Mike and Grace did the recap. Grace and Taryn did the video game club, and now here we are, LaTanya, talking about the latest episode, When We Are in Need, a really aggressively brutal episode of the aggressively brutal The Last of Us.
Like, what? I screamed so many different times. Like, my neighbors must hate me for so many different reasons, but also for this particular reason.
Yeah.
First of all, they killed a horse. Like,
sure did.
Just like, stop it. I understand that you are hungry. And for me, deer are fair game. They are the pests of the forest.
Wow.
Go to town.
Bambi and Bambi's mother are shook.
Bambi and Bambi's mother can be
Bambi's mother can get wrecked, okay?
No. I was going to say that they can be taken out of the field and put into like a nice backyard where they're protected.
Yes.
But everybody else is fair game.
Sure.
But you don't just go around shooting horses.
Isn't that literally the name of a movie? They shoot horses, don't they? Yeah. They do
the
it.
Literally the second I said it. I don't care. I love horses. I'm a big fan of equine therapy. I just like, stop messing with horses.
Yeah. I mean, what do we do? We eat a horse or we eat a person, I guess, is the dilemma here in The Last of Us.
No, you spare a horse and ride a cowboy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Everyone knows that's the answer.
Okay, fair enough. LaTanya's got this whole post-apocalypse thing figured out, folks. No surprises here. But yeah, I guess like I'm kind of used to this, LaTanya.
Yeah, I guess.
I've watched a lot of Walking Dead, and Walking Dead is terrible to horses.
Oh, they're so bad to
horses. Brutal to the horses here. So this was nothing comparatively.
That's very... The Walking Dead is like a distant memory for me, like a fever dream of a memory for me. For
lucky you,
I know it's close to your heart and in your brain.
Yes.
But yeah, I screamed about the horse. Everything that Ellie had to go through, and this whole David character, I just want what happened to him at the end of the episode to happen like on a loop in hell.
Fair enough. Scott Shepard as David, who has been great in a great many things, but I think the thing that he pops for me the most is El Camino. He is one of the two main bad guys in El Camino, Breaking Bad movie. Oh. Yeah, he is. He is. Who does he play? He plays Casey. He is the guy who is sort of he's like Neil Candy's right hand man. The two guys who go to Todd's apartment pretending to be cops that Jesse has to go up against. So I remember Scott Shepard from that. Now I will never be able to think of him as basically anything other than David in The Last of Us. A very, very chilling turn as David, who is really scary in the video game as well. They brought this to life in a really, really powerfully terrifying way.
Disturbing. The fact that this guy in pre-apocalyptica was a teacher and, of course, would become a preacher because spiritual guidance is what is needed after an apocalypse, and you get to have like a kid's church also, like, you know, suffer the little children to come unto thee. Like, I went to a lot of biblical like school and a lot of church growing up. So like, these are breeding grounds for predators like David. And so it doesn't surprise me one bit that this is his deal, but it is so disturbing to watch. And just the visceral fear on Ellie's face the entire time he's anywhere near her. Like, you can see her in the cage. She's just trying to be away from him and squirming in every way that she possibly can. I'm just so glad that she made it out of this episode relatively unscathed, because something like this could only ever impact you for the rest of your life. It's just about how you choose to wear it from then on. But yeah, this was horrifying.
Yeah, the only way that the Predator David's ending could have been more satisfying is if it was at the hands of a literal predator. If, like, the predators, like, came to Earth, a cordyceps-infected Earth, and took out the cannibal commune at Silver Lake, that could have been pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Also, they're cannibals. Like, the
yeah,
layers.
Yeah, let's not sleep on the cannibalism.
The layers of badness.
Yeah.
They're just bad for so many reasons.
Yeah.
I cannot deal with it.
That Breaking Badness, for sure.
Yes.
It's not just Scott Shepard as David, though he is very notable in this episode. I am sure you have heard about the OG Joel,
yes.
The actor who plays Joel in the video game and helps host the Last of Us official podcast for HBO, Troy Baker. Not just the voice, it's really doing a disservice to the real acting work that went into bringing that video game to life with motion capture and everything, yeah. Literal performances. So it was cool to see Troy Baker on the show. Would have been nice to save Troy Baker for a character who was, I don't know, not a cannibal accomplice, I think would have been fine by me. Maybe save him, like, is there a nice guy in season two? Could yeah. we have saved Troy Baker for a nice guy role in season two?
Well, if Maybe. it makes you feel any better, he loved it.
Yeah,
he seems to really enjoy it.
Yeah,
thought he was going to be a clicker, but it turns out he got to have a hatchet buried in his neck instead. So
yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah, the irony of Ellie killing the original Joel is really fun. I really liked that scene quite a bit. The whole episode is really good. I think it is worth noting that we now have like two Last of Us episodes in a row where Joel has a very minimal role.
I know,
not a lot of Joel going on,
but like. All he needed to do was wreck shop on some cannibals and show up and say baby girl, and he had me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't need anything else from Pedro Pascal ever in life except watching him wreck shop on some baddies and then being a nice papa.
Yeah. Well, you get two for the price of one.
I know.
Here in your 2023 TV viewing habits. Maybe because he had his Mandalorian 2 episodes these past couple of weeks, do you think HBO was like, well, we'll just let Joel like kind of like take a seat for now so like he could just focus up on saving the baby, because HBO is as invested as we are in poor little Grogu.
I mean... Grogu kind of, well, I don't want to give any spoilers away.
Sure.
The Mandalorian.
Grogu doesn't need saving. Maybe
Grogu doesn't need saving.
Yeah.
But I don't like when the ears go down. That makes me so sad for my sweet baby.
You know who else doesn't like when the ears go down? Ellie. When she sees a severed ear go down on the floor, which tips her off to the cannibalism.
There's a lot going on into them today.
There's a lot going on in this episode. I think too much in terms of like it's very visceral, it's very violent. It's a really great showcase for Bella Ramsey. I think the writing on this one is really, really strong.
Yeah.
David is such an effectively chilling character because we have not met someone like this in this world quite yet.
Yeah.
Who's the closest? Kathleen, Melanie Lynskey?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not quite right.
No, I mean, you know, Kathleen did hunt down two black men.
Sure.
Did
happen.
You know, like, difference is that she did not want to claim one of them to be her husband's child.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I guess Kathleen wins yet again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, trauma rage baked into all of that. And there doesn't seem like... If there's like trauma rage baked into David, you know what, LaTanya? I don't think I need to know about it.
I definitely don't care.
Right.
Like, yeah. I just need the point of this where Ellie sets everything literally on fire and he goes down in a blaze.
Yeah.
I this is one of those times where I'm like overkill, totally justified, not guilty in a court of law.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. You had told me before we started podcasting that you had written down some biblical interpretations of this episode of The Last of Us. Can you indulge me? I want to hear more about this.
Well, because I love Jesus.
Great.
No, I really do.
I do, too. He's great on The Walking Dead. Short-lived, unfortunately.
It's true.
Yeah.
If you told me that in the year of our Lord 2023, I would be enraptured every Sunday night by a show where Oberyn Martell escorted Liana Mormont across the United States in the aftermath of a zombie apocalypse. I would have politely asked you to please excuse me while I run in the opposite direction of you as fast as I could.
Sure.
But here we are.
Yes.
On Versus, talking about this magnificent show every week. The first thing that you hear David kind of saying to his flock, as they were, is from Revelations chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And those
Ooh,
are...
verses.
Yeah, verses.
This is verses 2.
Verses as well.
Yeah.
And that is, like, often said in times of, like, grief. But it, the whole point of it is that it's in Revelations. And so it's talking about how God is saying that despite the world needing to end, essentially, there's going to be a new kingdom that pops up, and the people who are invited to that kingdom are going to be okay. It's not necessarily talking about the new world that we have here on Earth, even after a zombie apocalypse. But if you allow someone like David to be your preacher, then he's going to be able to spin it in whatever he wants. As far as David's name, I think that he's best, like, that name David is best known for taking down Goliath just with the slingshot and some stones. So he pretty much flourished and was the second ruler of a united kingdom of Israel and Judah. But the thing that kind of got him in the end, which is very true of this character as well, was his bravado. Served him well at the beginning, but it starts to cause problems for his administration, and his own warmongering starts to weary him, and then, like, a Hemingway-esque alpha male image causes problems for his children. Then he has an illicit affair, and that brings them both to the rebuke of many. So that's very in keeping with what happened with David here, attempting to have an illicit affair. God only knows what's happened with the children that are already there and that young woman that he slaps.
Yeah.
Takes his glove off to backhand her. And then we've got James, who is his trusty sidekick in the show. In the Bible, James was kind of like the chief spokesman for Jerusalem and the Council of Jerusalem regarding, like, Paul's mission for the Gentiles. But later tradition records that he was called the Just, but was eventually beheaded by order of King Herod Agrippa the First of Judea. So,
wow.
Checks out.
Yeah, well, he was almost beheaded.
Yeah, basically beheaded.
Close enough. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of fascinating religious overtones and undertones in this episode of the show. And I think that there is a lot in play on The Last of Us of, like, what do you have faith in when everything has ended the way that it has? And I think, like, to, like, lightly shift us over towards Station 11, mm-hmm. the answer to that question for many of the characters in Station 11, the Traveling Symphony and so on, their answer is we have faith in art. We have faith in the bard. You know, we have faith in performance. We have faith in the arts. And what do they have faith in The Last of Us? There's such, like, a tribal quality to the pockets of civilization, in quotes, that we have seen, that it's like, I have faith in these authoritarian Fedra soldiers to keep me safe. Maybe I have faith in my resistance group to overcome these horrible, you know, mushroom monsters. And yet, my faith in them is not as strong as my desire for vengeance that I think shows up here. There's a lot of there's a lot in the Kansas City storyline too, but it's just so overt in this episode that you can't help but wonder about Joel and Ellie kind of wandering this land, this desolate land that feels like, if God's out there, LaTanya, he's sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some people that were cursed to wander in the desert for 40 years, but, you know, hopefully the 40-year journey isn't what we're looking for these two characters.
My namesake, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Way to
I
go,
think that...
Jewish Josh. You got one. You did it. You did a Bible.
You did a Bible. At least the Old Testament.
Yeah, they're halfway through then, huh? Because it's been two decades of mushroom apocalypse. All right, 50%.
Yeah, they're almost there.
Files take a long time to upload.
A long time.
Yeah.
But
I can't wait until year 40 when God comes down and says, "Files done." That's it, folks.
I am not going to hell for this podcast.
Postshowrecaps.com/verses. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Get all your Jesus talk here. I will say that I think that the answer to your question is that Joel and Ellie find faith in one another. And it's very clear that Ellie saves herself in this episode. Joel is just kind of timidly wandering around this community, hoping to not get captured or have to kill any more people before he finds Ellie, and she's already fixed the problem for herself. But in an emotional way, in an actual fatherly way, not in the way that David is pitching fatherhood, Joel saves Ellie in this episode in getting her to understand that there is someone out there who cares for her deeply and someone that she can put her trust in. And then we get from him calling her baby girl the first time that he's used those words in 20 years, because that's what he used to call his daughter. It's all just so touching. And at the same time, there's something just like wild-eyed about Bella Ramsey's performance here, because she's still so fresh off of this trauma that it's the two of them are going to be limping side by side for a little bit emotionally and physically, I think, on this journey.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Tanya. So that is some of what's up on The Last of Us. We'll have more shots to talk about LOU in the verses section of the podcast. But first, I think we got to talk about Station 11 in greater detail. Who's there?
Oh. This episode just gets me.
Yeah.
I don't know whose through line it is. I don't know if it is Kirsten's. I don't know if it's Clark's. I don't know if it is the fact that Arthur Leander comes back to play more of a role than he has in previous episodes. I don't know if it is Tyler and just seeing the abjection of a person who at such a young age was confused by someone who was supposed to be his uncle and his dad's best friend at one point, essentially saying in many different times, your father's, first of all, he's telling Arthur, you're a shitty father. You don't deserve to have a son. And then, of course, he's right there. We don't care if he had headphones on. He's listening all the time. And then saying that it's time for Tyler and Miranda to go, and essentially cursing the two of them. It's just, it seems like everything that he has can be traced back to something that Clark said. And it's just sitting and watching Daniel Zovato talk to Kirsten and like the hollowed out lodge of that plane is, and he's just sobbing. There's just something that hits me so viscerally about that scene and how it's shot and how it's framed. I don't know what gets me more. It's a really emotional episode for me.
It's a great episode. It touches on a lot of the various story threads that we've been chronicling throughout Station 11 up to this point. We are no longer in sort of the dreamscape of Goodbye, My Damaged Home. We're back in the waking world with Kirsten and Tyler the Prophet, who she does not yet realize is Tyler Leander, but she's going to figure that out by the end of the episode. So this is just the sort of what happens, right? So Kirsten wakes up. She's been treated for her poison by parties unknown. When she wakes up, she doesn't see anybody. Then she hears a voice and she throws a knife at the voice like you do and just narrowly misses Tyler's face. There's a world where this episode is just kind of over quick.
There's a I thought about that. Is that a better world? Maybe.
Hard to say. I mean, yeah. Two episodes left to find out. I mean, yeah. I guess it's a better world for the Museum of Civilization.
For sure. Yeah, that poor little museum.
Yeah.
That's all that Clark has, though. Like, I mean, obviously he has a significant other. Like, I can't sit here and like besmirch their love and relationship, which has just thrived. It's been thriving in the Severin City Airport. Love is abound. But that Museum of Civilization is his connection to the past. And he doesn't really have a past anymore, because all of the people that were a part of his past, with the exception of Elizabeth, are gone now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure losing that felt like losing a part of him. Like, yes, has he become the kind of like old curmudgeon-y man who sometimes comes to class with a karaoke machine to show people what things used to be like? Yes. Is he a little prickly? Of course. But he is trying to keep the civilization going. He's trying to keep his people safe. And he's done so for, what, like years and years now.
With very, very strict edicts about who comes in and who goes out and all of that. And we're seeing, as Kirsten and Tyler are making their way to the Severin City Airport, we are cutting into the Severin City Airport, where the symphony is. They're still in quarantine, and we're seeing that Clark doesn't really want them to play. This is more an Elizabeth thing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth and Clark, they both got old. Miles got old. These people got old. They're really cute old people.
They are. Say. They're so beardy.
Yeah, very beardy. Miles is so beardy.
So beardy.
He got really beardy, and Clark got beardy, and it's nice to see that they were able to, you know, get past their little awkward hanger moment from 20 years earlier, and they've clearly found their way to each other with a ukulele in tow. That's very nice.
I love the ukulele in certain like times. Like, a ukulele can really get on my nerves if it's not at the right moment, but a ukulele during this show, it's just very sweet.
Yeah, Ave Maria on a ukulele, I think, ends up working out decently well.
Love how I still remember all of the words to Ave Maria in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently is something that I learned about myself while watching the credits of this show.
That's important to know. So we're gonna see Kirsten and the Prophet are eventually gonna get apprehended by Miles, who is like out on a run or whatever it is that he and his allies are doing, and they are able to Kirsten and Tyler basically are like, okay, well, we're gonna go with them. I mean, this is basically where we want to go anyway.
Yeah.
So they get accepted into the Severin City Airport to the Museum of Civilization, and they have to pass the smell test in order to be accepted into the community. They have to, there's like an identity test that they have to take. And since they're actors, since Clark himself was once an actor, he tests them, he quizzes them on their theatrical know-how. First with a Hamlet quote, because if Tyler's who he says he is, he should be able to recite Hamlet. Gosh, it's lucky.
I'm gonna tell you what, if I got tested with that quote, wouldn't be able to pass.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
Don't know nearly enough about Hamlet.
Gosh, I don't know if I still have the Puck monologue at the end of Midsummer available to
do.
Me. Is some
I
if I if
do.
I really tried, it's not worth doing right now.
Yeah.
We see that it doesn't really matter. He gets the one Hamlet line that he needs to get, and then they're being told you got to perform a scene for us. And so the scene that they end up performing is this shared language that Kirsten and Tyler have. Basically, the only two people alive on the planet, potentially, who speak this language, and they recite Station 11 back and forth to each other, LaTanya.
Yeah, and the way that they're doing it, it's very theater in the round, which I love, because the Chicago Shakespeare Theater is theater in the round. And so that's how I kind of, one of the ways I grew up, learning about Shakespeare. But the fact that Clark has to change his focus every other line to kind of see like what's happening is also a really great dance that these two characters are doing with each other. It's so well blocked and choreographed. And again, this is Kirsten's thing, or at least she thought that this was her thing. And now this is another instance in which, for her own survival and safety, she has to repeat lines from this, like, this comic that is hers, as far as she knew until very recently.
Yeah. So this very precious thing to her is, you know, I mean, she's going to be able to make it through this with or without Tyler, probably,
right.
Though she has hitched her wagon to Tyler, and vouching for him as a member of the Traveling Symphony might get some curious looks from the powers that be here at the airport in these times, for sure.
In a different world, Kirsten and Tyler would have dated, probably.
It's possible. Certainly possible. Yeah.
They were supposed to meet. It's just so odd how everything goes down, and then we'll get to this, but the moment of realization that Kirsten has when she gets one of my favorite lines in this show is, who the F is Elizabeth?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she gets the answer to that, and she's like, oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. That's what connects it. So they pass the test. Kirsten gets to rejoin the symphony. Tyler gets yanked. He's not allowed to join.
It was more of a yoink.
It was like a yoink. He gets yoinked off. Whoa. And so Kirsten finds out who Elizabeth is.
Uh-huh.
And when she finds out who Elizabeth is, she is able to connect that, okay, so she was Arthur Leander's wife. Oh, God. Tyler knows Station 11 because he's Arthur Leander's son.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of, you know, she revisited the first 100, right, in her fever dream. Now she is experiencing even before that. There was no before. Well, tell that to Kirsten, who remembers
Seriously.
Tyler's father. And so the two of them are able to reconnect later. Tyler, this is home turf for him, even though he's been gone for so long. He knows his way around the airport. He's able to find Kirsten. He and Kirsten are going to kind of split off for a little while he has something he needs to grab from the museum. And Kirsten wants to go and find Sarah, Lori Petty, who has had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And she goes and she finds Sarah, who is lying in bed, and she's calling down from her from the vents in the ceiling. And a great line from Sarah in this episode is, why are you in the ceiling?
Why are you in the ceiling?
It's very funny. I like that.
That was the funniest line, contrasted with, of course, the most heartbreaking is, my heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm not going to cry on a podcast. I'm not going to do it, Josh. Stop it.
I didn't do anything.
You're making me cry.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm going to tell Emily.
Don't tell Emily.
I'm texting her right now.
Don't text Emily. My heart's broken if you text
Emily. My heart's broken.
Sarah says she's dying. She says, I'm dying. She says, I'm dead, is what she says.
Yeah.
This is so Shakespearean. Like the whole, and now I am dead, you know, kind of monologue, that like a soliloquy that one of these characters would give.
Yeah.
And Kirsten makes the promise that she won't tell anybody until after the play. Sarah says the performance is everything.
The play is the thing.
The play is the thing. The play is the thing. The podcast is the thing. So Kirsten is also heartbroken, but she leaves and she reconnects with Tyler as well. And when she and Tyler leave the airport, Tyler's saying, you're going to want to get out of here. It's not going to be so good at the airport any longer. And they make it to the outskirts. And this is where Kirsten kind of calls Tyler out of like, I know you. I know who you are. I know what you're all right. about. They kind of like meditate on how there was a before and it's coming back. And for Tyler, that's bad news. He doesn't want the before to return.
No, he doesn't. And it's sad that for Tyler, his innate move is destruction as opposed to anything else, as opposed to trying to get along with people, trying to meet new people, even recognizing his own mother as his mother and trying to tap into something emotionally resonant that isn't destructive is difficult or almost impossible for him, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. He ends up seeing his mom again. He ends up seeing Elizabeth, who has come out to meet him. He ends up seeing Clark as well. Clark and Elizabeth are both kind of in disbelief that Tyler is still alive. Yeah. Tyler, you know, sort of tries to act as if like Tyler never really existed. He's the prophet now. None of that is real. Clark admonishes him. The, you know, the old bad blood sort of resurfaces. The big difference now, LaTanya, is that Tyler is not a kid and Clark doesn't feel that bad about reaming out, you know, a young man.
Now they got bad blood and it used to be mad love.
Yeah, that's true.
Take a look what you've done, Tyler.
Well, what he's done is he set the thing on fire.
Again.
Yeah. He blew up the Museum of Civilization. And
the Gichigumi, like here lies the remains of, you know, Gichigumi flight, whatever. Like,
yeah, he sets that on fire too.
Instantly just setting things on fire.
Yeah. So he does that, and Clark is frantically waving his hands at the Museum of Civilization, and Tyler's sort of just standing there, and then Tyler gets one punch knocked out, and then Elizabeth receives Tyler's slumped body and looks up and says, he's alive.
I know.
That's a really sweet moment.
It's very sweet. And at the beginning of the episode, apparently this is a ritual for Elizabeth. She goes to the site of where she thought her son died and she talks to him, just like telling him about what things are new and happening around the town that is now built in the, has now sprung up in the Severn City Airport. And that's just kind of how she starts her days, journaling and doing that, very intentional. So for her, by the end of this episode to, I mean, she even puts it off because Miles comes to her and she's like, it looks like you've seen a ghost. And he's like, well, I kind of have.
Right.
I like this guy, you need to see him. And she's like, after the play.
He's like, it's Tyler, though.
Yeah.
Tyler. You should check it out.
After the play, like, I can't deal with any other emotions about that until after the play.
Yeah.
Which you understand. Like, plenty of people are like this. I'm like this. I compartmentalize bad things all the time to try to make it through my day. And Elizabeth is just trying to give, like, these people have never seen a play before, which is kind of begs credulity a bit, because she's an actress. And you would think that at least the kids would have put on a play at some point, but they'd never seen a play before.
Well, I guess I'm not totally shocked by it because Clark in the flashback. So there's the flashback component to this episode, which is Clark and Arthur Leander reconnecting after a long while away from each other. And when they do reconnect, their reunion results in Clark breaking like a decade of sobriety and drinking with Arthur and getting like pretty mean drunk about it. And getting really like sort of in Arthur's face about how, you picked, you picked your career over Miranda, and like you don't deserve all this talent and all of this stuff. And I think that there is a lot of bitterness in Clark for he resents, it seems like, a lot of Arthur's success. And even when they were first at the airport, I feel like Elizabeth and Clark were a little bit charged up about this issue too.
Yes.
And clearly they have their past, which we see in this episode, that they don't particularly like each other until, you know, the years wear on and they're sort of forced to forge this civilization together. So I feel like I remember Damage, right? Well, I remember Acting. You know, I think like that's in there. I think their story in many ways, and with Miranda and like the privacy of the comic book that she was creating, I think, and like the violation of that privacy back in episode 3, I think touched on this too. But I do think that this and Tyler's whole story, I think, touches on this as well. That I think that not only is Station 11 exploring the idea that maybe art can save us, but I think that there are also ways in which the show sort of explores the ways that art can destroy us.
Yes,
so that's it. That's for in sure. play. That's in play. It makes sense to me that they wouldn't have gone to the theatrics quite yet.
That's fair. And there's all the subtext of this, which is that Clark, we see him trying on that crown because in another life, Clark would have been an actor. Or would have continued to be an actor and would have been more if not as famous as Arthur.
He looks like Lear now.
Right. He does. And he kind of gives Arthur like the reason that he breaks his sobriety of 9 years, I think, not just to drink, but he's like doing cocaine as well with like one of the hotel workers, is honestly that he sees Arthur and all of the gifts that he has without even really trying. And how everything just is so breezy for Arthur, and how could he possibly be that way? He also sees Arthur and Elizabeth as the reason that he lost his friend, Miranda, because they were friends as well. Clark was the only person that Miranda would talk to when she was busy setting the guest house on fire. And Clark kind of rightfully describes it as, you know, she was tied to a boulder with you.
Yeah.
Just because she didn't like your stupid heist movie. And you know, I think that Arthur kind of makes up a little bit by saying everybody always believed that Elizabeth and I were together. We never were.
Do you believe that?
I believe that, yes. But I also believe that there are things that are even more intimate than sex.
The emotional affair.
Yes, that can be shared between two people that is worse, almost. Especially with the, like, seeing Station 11 of it all.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of cements it. In Miranda's mind, for sure, and in Clark's mind as well. And Arthur is, for Clark, just a representation of all of the things he's lost.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't his son be that very same thing?
Yep. Very fascinating episode of the show. I think as we're driving towards the final two episodes of Station 11, a lot gets set up here in some pretty compelling ways. We should make these episodes fight, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it's going to be really sad.
It's going to be sad. We have a big fight on our hands here, folks. It's Station 11, Episode 8 versus The Last of Us, Episode 8, in the following categories. There's the state of the apocalypse. There is the deadliest situation. There is the happiest moment. There is the saddest moment. There is the most umami. Mm. There is precocious kids fight. There is death, there is bad bitch, and there is episode overall. To reset the scores as it currently stands, it is a 6-point lead. The Last of Us against Station 11, 30-24. Station 11 has only won the week once. Can it do it this time around, LaTanya? Let's see. Let's find out. We shall see if Station 11 can pull out victory over The Last of Us.
This is going to be an uphill battle.
It's going to be tough. We're running up that hill.
Yeah. Okay. Running up that hill.
Yeah. You're talking really weird. Okay, let's do it. Here we go. State of the Apocalypse. The Last of Us versus Station 11. Which one do you want to live in here, Latanya? Do you want to live in the
joke?
Do you want to live in the Museum of Civilization where they've got Nintendo Switch? Or do you want to live in Silver Lake where they've got human meat?
I would like to live in the Severn City Airport, please.
Yeah, I'll also vote Severn City Airport. This is a very easy early point for Station 11. An uncontroversial pick here for Station 11, closing the gap. It's a 5-point spread now.
And if this is controversial for you, what's our email address? Please write in, because I would like to know what you've seen and been through.
You know what? Don't. Don't. Don't bother.
Don't write to Josh. Write to me.
Write to Latanya. Deadliest situation, Latanya. In one episode of these two shows, a museum is set on fire. And then in the other episode of these two shows, humans are consumed for food. And also David has really dark intentions towards Ellie. Feel like this is another one where, I guess this is easy.
Yeah. I mean, the deadliest situation comes up a couple times for Ellie.
Yeah.
And a couple times for Joel if she wasn't able to inject that penicillin directly into that wound.
Wow. Is that how it works, by the way? I have no idea.
From what I understand, first of all, no. Second of all, I do think that if you are injecting it into the site, it can still get into your blood. It's just that it's a lot less efficient of a process.
Yeah.
And so therefore it won't be as efficacious.
Yeah. Okay. He uses smaller words, so I understand what you're talking about.
Oh, it won't work as well.
Okay, got it. I knew that. No, I knew that. I was just doing it for the people who are listening who aren't writing in.
Yeah.
Okay. So
please,
I think
write in.
That is the Last of Us.
At gmail.com.
Yes. That is the Last of Us is going to take the lead here. And not the lead, it's a tie as it currently stands. Nothing has changed. We're just moving forward.
Yeah. Laterally, really.
Happiest moment of the episode. Which one has a happier moment between The Last of Us and Station 11? Because I think probably for The Last of Us, it would be the baby girl moment.
Yeah, but that's not happy.
No, it's really not. I mean, like, in some ways it is, but it is loaded with so much sorrow.
Yeah. I think Alex singing You Say... And then everybody reuniting with Kirsten, except one guy who doesn't want to get up and stop reading his book because he knew she was going to be okay the whole time.
Yeah, same. I would be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm reading. I'm reading here. Yeah, I think that that's happier than anything that happened on The Last of Us this week. So that's 2-1, Station 11 to The Last of Us. Saddest moment, the flip. So I would maybe even argue then that the I Got You Baby Girl would be the saddest moment of The Last of Us in its own way.
Yeah.
But I think there's a way in which Elizabeth's He's Alive is also really sad to me.
It's Elizabeth's He's Alive and Lori Petty, Sarah's
I'm heartbroken. My heart is broken. I am dead. I'm hurt. Which one got you more watching them this week?
Station 11, dude.
Not going to fight you. Not going to fight you. Station 11, 3-1. Most umami. At this point, do we discuss the fact that there's not a ton of umami on The Last of Us right now?
Yeah, there's not.
Kind of umami free for a little while.
Yeah, we don't know how that stew tastes.
Yeah.
We don't know.
There was the stew, and then like David got like the pile of meat. He's like, I don't want.
Oh yeah.
I don't like mine too saucy.
I love how everyone's on rations except you, David, who gets a giant plate full of meat.
Yeah. Gross. You know, real gross.
David, real gross. You are the worst.
Yeah,
we have something coming up for you, and Ellie had something for you as well.
Yeah,
but
so there's the I don't want to know if the human tastes...
There was no food served at any point during Station 11.
No, but there
No, that's true. I'm wrong. There was food in the hotel.
There's food in the hotel and like the big night out between Arthur and Clark, right?
Is cocaine umami?
You know what? There is probably a moment where Tyler looks at Elizabeth and goes, ooh, mommy.
Mommy.
I'm inclined to give it a Station 11. Station 11, 4-1.
Ooh, mommy.
Ooh, mommy. I'm inclined to give it a Station 11. It's
4-1. I'm so glad that we kept this ridiculous category.
Precocious kids fight. Now, this one's going to go to The Last of Us. Yeah. Ellie takes on the cannibals, and Ellie is the victor. So I think that this has to go to The Last of Us.
She killed a deer. She's got a gun. She eventually gets it taken away from her, but then she hatchets some man in the side of the neck, and then she kills the hell out of whatever his name is, David.
David, yeah. David gets stabbed brutally to death.
Good.
Yes, so there's that. You would think then that this is an automatic victory for The Last of Us versus Station 11. Sarah is saying that she's dying. I didn't see nobody, right? I didn't see her die, so I'm not convinced yet.
Yeah.
So no one dies on Station 11 in this episode, and yet... The climax of the Station 11 episode this week, LaTanya, is by the remnants of the death. The plane called the death.
Yes, but I think there needs to be a statute of limitations on the death.
Uh-huh.
Because the death is now over an overgrown forest area.
Correct.
It's like a Shakespeare garden.
It is.
So no longer the death.
Yeah.
Just all right, hollowed out shell.
If that's the case, then this goes to The Last of Us with ease, I think.
Yeah.
So we are now 3-4 Last of Us to Station 11 with two categories remaining. We got Bad Bitch. Bad Bitch. Who are we putting in the Bad Bitch arena? Who's getting mixed up in the Bad Bitch blender?
I mean, Ellie.
Okay.
Arguably Joel, though, because like he overcomes a stab wound.
Right.
To just take, like, wreck shop with, like, three of these different dudes.
Yeah.
But Ellie really does, I think, come out.
Well, so if we're gonna pick Joel, then I think that the person that you have to pick in conjunction with Joel from the Station 11 side would be Tyler. Because yeah. I think the matchup, as I'm seeing it, is two men infiltrating enemy territory, yes. Right? So Joel is going to go and infiltrate Silver Lake with the mission in mind to save Ellie. Tyler is going to infiltrate the Severn City Airport with the mission in mind to destroy the Before, to eradicate the Museum of Civilization,
yeah.
And make sure that that capitalism doesn't escape its Wikipedia prison. And that it doesn't come roaring back to life. So I think that would be the matchup.
They've just reinvented it.
So if that's the case, let's survey the results, I suppose.
I have to think, though, about the feminist in me choosing Joel over Ellie for Bad Bitch for this particular week.
Okay.
Because Ellie rescues herself.
She does.
But I just don't know who her comp would be.
I don't know that there is one. I don't know who would make sense to go. No one's getting kidnapped. It's not really Kirsten, I don't think.
Not this week.
If it was Elizabeth? Kirsten, does Kirsten score any points for having killed all of the bandanas, apparently?
Yeah, even like with whatever coursing some bad chemistry, as Tyler put it.
The thing is so if it's Ellie as the bad bitch of this episode, it really actually doesn't matter. I think that Station 11 forfeits the point. Like, I think Station 11 doesn't even compete in this one. They don't even bother sending someone into the bad bitch blender because they don't have anyone who can go up against it.
Do we want to do the bye or do we want to do the debate?
Your call. You choose.
I make so many choices in life, Josh.
I know.
What I've really been looking for is just a man to make my choices for me.
Yeah, okay. Let's just hit 30 seconds back a couple of times.
Okay.
Let's do that. How about this? I'm going to flip a coin. Great. You ready?
Yep.
I'm going to flip a coin. I'm going to see if it's heads, then it's a buy and okay. Last of Us gets the point. If it's tails, then we're going to duke it out. You ready?
Tails never fails.
Okay, here we go. Oh, wait. No, it didn't work out. You're going to have to give me a second.
All right, here we go again.
Okay, we're going to do this again. Okay, here we go. We're going to hit it again. I'm doing this on the Google machine.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Odds and evens. If it's odds, Last of Us wins. If it's evens, then we're going to duke it out and we'll see.
Okay.
Here we go. Is it odds? Is it evens? It is odds. Last of Us gets the point.
All right.
No debate. No debate.
No debate.
Ellie is the bad bitch and no one bothers showing up. Wisely.
Yeah.
Wisely.
She would just kill them.
Correct. So there you have it. We have a tie once again. 4-4, 34-28 is where we currently stand with one category remaining. And that category is the episode overall. A toughie for you, LaTanya. Last time around, I think we both agreed that while it seemed like it would be a toughie, that was our favorite episode of Station 11.
It was. I think my favorite episode of Station 11 is yet to come.
I agree. I think that the other contender for me is yet to come as well.
Yeah. I think that this episode of Station 11 did a lot of emotional work. That was the heft of it. We got a lot of good flashbacks that really led to the overall story. I just also think that The Last of Us was maybe a stronger episode just in terms of like sheer volume.
Yeah.
You know, like it was louder, it was meaner, it was more aggressive. It really comes down to how you like your TV shows.
It does, but I also think within the context of the shows themselves and what the shows are trying to articulate and where they need to, you know, like the flags they need to plant along the way to drive towards their ultimate destinations. The work that is accomplished in The Last of Us this week versus Station 11, I think is more important. Is what I will say.
Yeah.
Because I think that final moment between Joel and Ellie of I got you, baby girl, is any like artifice of Joel being a tough guy around Ellie and feeling like he can't be vulnerable again. He can't expose himself to the kind of hurt that he felt when he lost Sarah, that this was not something that he'd be willing to ever entertain again, that even Tess was just almost barely family, right?
No.
I think that it is like the echoed response to when a couple of episodes back, Joel barely cried out the word Tommy. I think it's that, but it's even more centrally important is this relationship between Joel and Ellie, and it goes there finally. This hug, this reunion, this is sort of as close to like father and daughter reunited as we get, and that is a very critical part of The Last of Us.
And that broke me.
Yeah,
that really did break me. I think that I had more broken moments in The Last of Us this week than I had with Station 11, just because I know what is to come. And I'll just say that next week, I might actually cry on this podcast again.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with giving it to Station 11 for the baby girl of it all, because that was 20 years
in
the making.
Yeah.
Sorry, to Last of Us. Because that was 20 years in the making. And I'm not even sure Ellie completely in this moment is able to comprehend and grasp what a leap that was for Joel to take.
Yep. Yep. So here's the results. Station 11 was doing quite well.
Yeah.
Last of Us pulls it out again. It's 5-4. Last of Us extends its lead by a point. It is now up 7 over Station 11. We have 2 more rounds of this to go, and it's all happening next week. Episode 9 of The Last of Us versus Station 11, Episode 9, and the Station 11 finale. So Station 11's got 2 more shots to close the gap. We will see if it is able to pull an upset, LaTanya.
I mean, I think it might be able to, because while I have absolutely loved The Last of Us, Station 11, top 3 show for me.
Yeah.
Like I have not seen the finale, granted, of The Last of Us, but just overall in terms of like my lexicon of television, Station 11 is just so high up there that it's ultimately interesting how these categories shake down, because I truly do believe that Station 11 is the better show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. We've got a finale still to weigh in, and is that going to change any opinions? I think we're just around the corner from finding out. I think we're just around the corner from finding out. We're so close. Before we close this thing out, let's do MVPs and LVPs for each show. LaTanya, do you have a Last of Us MVP, and why is it anyone other than Ellie?
It's Ellie.
Yeah, agreed.
It just has to be.
It is Ellie, and we once again have no MVP points for Joel. Ellie is the clear leader at this point in time. She has 5 MVP points. No one is even remotely in her league. It is clinched. It is clinched at this point. Ellie is the MVP of The Last of Us Season 1.
There we go.
That's right. That's right. Celebrate.
Josh, for $1, LVP. Name a woman.
Oh, God. Susan B. Anthony. Okay, Last of Us LVP. Last of Us LVP. LaTanya.
David.
Yeah.
Just hatch him again.
Yeah.
And rehatchet him.
Yeah. Can I also just give a shout out to one of my favorite video game moments from The Last of Us that made it on screen, which is Joel kills the one guy and the other guy is like, what the hell, man? He told you what you wanted to know. I'm not giving you shit. And Joel going, it's okay. I believe him.
And then he
clubs it and it cuts right to black, straight out of the video game.
Really?
I really like
that moment.
The only difference is he says okay here, and in the game he says it's all right. Like, oh no. Otherwise, like, no, perfect.
Do you need a gaming console to play this game, or can you play it on your laptop?
You can play it on Steam soon. It's not available for PC yet, but it's going to be available for PC.
I have a Mac. Does that matter?
No, you should. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to play it on a Mac Steam. But there's lots of Let's Plays and stuff that you could watch if you don't want to play it. But the game's very, very fun.
I want to play the game.
Like, game's great.
The game is going to make me get a gaming console.
Look, you know, certainly PS5 could be calling your name.
Could be.
I would be thrilled about that for you. All right, double tap for David with the LVPs. I think that makes him... There's no consensus LVP. There's no LVP leader. It's... oh, no, it is. It's Kathleen. Yeah. Kathleen's the LVP leader. All right, Station 11 MVP. This could be controversial. I'm going to pick Tyler.
I thought that you might do that.
Yeah.
And it's not, I think that of all of the episodes that Tyler has appeared in, this is probably the only one where he's going to be able to get the MVP.
So far. Who knows what comes next? But Tyler, that Hamlet comes in clutch. Tyler is able to sneak a pivotal piece of equipment. He passes his sleight of hand check.
He does.
With ease.
He made a bomb.
He made a bomb pretty quick. Made a pretty quick bomb. His mission is accomplished. He wanted to destroy the Museum of Civilization, and that thing looks like it's probably at least, if it's not dead, then it's like Will Ferrell. Very badly burnt. So I think Tyler gets my point.
This is my
sort of like, you're really good at being bad moments.
He is. I also liked that when he was like holding the console before he like bombed everything up, and it like the circles kind of had to complete in order for it to work. It looked just like some of the circles and arches that were in Miranda's Station 11 book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I found that to be a really cool detail. I don't mind giving it to Tyler. I just think that Daniel Zavato in this episode is fantastic and vulnerable, and you know, he makes it so that Kirsten is able to see Sarah maybe for the last time.
Right.
I mean, you know, he does bomb the Museum of Civilization.
Yeah, but...
But, you know, well-behaved men rarely make history.
That's right. That's right. So where are you going to put your MVP point?
I think Tyler.
Yeah. All right. Bad boys for life.
Yeah.
Cool.
With a number four.
Yeah, we like that. Well, because you and I have both given MVP points to Tyler this week, he had been the leader of the LVPs at a negative four. He's now at negative two. He might still be. No, he's tied with the Marshall who dipped out on. He's tied with the Marshall who dipped out and with the Home Invader from last week's episode.
Ugh, that guy
as the LVP right now. So there's still room for Tyler to keep dipping down.
Yeah.
But we could see if something else happens. So my Station 11 LVP this week is Clark, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't like it, but it is Clark.
No, it's definitely Clark. Also, trim that beard up a little, Clark. I know that you've got the means.
Yeah. I mean, I think Clark looks great. I think Clark has like big sort of like Lord of the Rings wizard vibes right now.
Oh, that's so true.
He even like kind of has
the accent. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's very true.
I'm good with Clark's vibes, but Clark's behavior, other than Tyler blowing up the Museum of Civilization, is probably the worst behavior of anybody in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, what he says about Arthur and Tyler and Elizabeth in front of them, not knowing it's in front of them, is bad. It's bad. Like, I get it. I understand it, but I just don't think that there's really a better option. He wants to shut down the play, all this stuff.
Yeah. No, he's just. He's older and older people get grumpy.
Yeah.
You know, and he started off in not a great way in this episode. He broke his sobriety, which is a journey, like that happens.
Of course. Yes.
But, you know, you can do that without saying scathing remarks about two people that you are too high to realize are in the room with you.
Yeah. But my kingdom for sleeping past noon.
I know, right?
That sounded great.
I'm going to do that this weekend, and cannot wait.
LaTanya. All right. Well, we now have Clark is in the mix as an LVP.
His name is Clark.
He had previously received my episode 5 MVP point.
Yeah.
Now with your LVP point in mind, Clark is officially in the negatives, negative one for Clark.
Oh, Clark.
Will it be fortunes falling for Clark? We will find out. LaTanya, that is it for this week's Station 11 versus The Last of Us. Coming up next on the podcast, it is episode 9, the season 1 finale of The Last of Us, Look for the Light, going up against the penultimate episode and the final episode of Station 11, Dr. Chaudhry and Unbroken Circle.
Dr. Chaudhry.
You ever wonder what happened to Jeevan, folks? I think we're going to find out in these final two episodes of the show.
Just like start the tears now. Like yeah. I just teared up thinking about Dr. Chaudhry.
Great episode. Terrific episode. I'm really excited to get to the end game of Station 11. I think we're going to have a really good time talking it all through next week, even if it's going to be sad because this journey will be over and doing The Last of Us versus Station 11 and finally getting the excuse to podcast about Station 11 has been a joy, an absolute delight.
So great.
Been a delight. We've had a lot of people reach out, not with like support of cannibalism, but with support of the Station 11 coverage, specifically in addition to Last of Us. That has been really, really kind to
receive. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's been nice, and I feel like it's a really special show. And if this podcast exposed you to Station 11, then we did our job. I feel good about it, no matter who ends up winning the head to head next week. So all good stuff. LaTanya, I almost got us out of here without our riddles. We've been saying for a couple of weeks now that we would do our riddles 3 to reveal what the versus is going to be when Last of Us versus Station 11 ends. Mm-hmm. I think we both have a riddle that is prepared to go for this week, one each.
I have a prepared riddle.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. Grab your jacket because it's cold and these stories to unfold. Eat or be eaten is the way from your family. Do not go far astray.
That was my riddle.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I wrote that exact same thing down.
Okay, I'm sure.
I'm going to tear it up now because I don't need it anymore, apparently. What the heck? You took the words right out of my mouth.
I did not.
No, that wasn't my riddle. That wasn't my
We have enough in common without manufacturing things to have in common.
Here's my riddle. It's less of a riddle and more of just like, okay, you ready for it? This week's episode of The Last of Us has something in common with both of the shows that we are going to be talking about on the next iteration of Versus. One of them is content. One of them is network. So that is my tease for what we are talking about on the other side of The Last of Us versus Station 11. You probably figured it out by now, but we're still going to extend the mystery one more week as we are going to continue ramping this thing down, The Last of Us versus Station 11. If you are not subscribed to the podcast yet, you got to do it. PostShowRecaps.com/versus is the RSS link if you want to search by URL or just search for PostShow Recaps Versus wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review. So appreciated by LaTanya and myself. Of course, you should also be subscribed to The Last of Us podcast feed, PostShowRecaps.com/Last of Us or PostShowRecaps.com/Lou. And we are getting near the end of the line. Grace and Mike are going to break down the finale. Grace and Taryn are going to do their video game club. I'm going to have a little special midweek final feedback show for folks, guest to be announced. Then LaTanya and I will be back in the Versus arena, and then Zed and Jess will wrap up their time playing The Last of Us video game. And then there may be a couple of other Last of Us treats on the other side of the season. So you can look forward to all of that. LaTanya, where can people find you? What do you got going on?
You can find me on Twitter at LK Starks. You can also find me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. I have a lot more going on than I thought. you all might have missed me on a couple podcasts yesterday or last week because I was recovering from pneumonia.
But how are you doing now?
I'm still recovering from pneumonia, only just slightly better.
Please, everybody, send your vibes to LaTanya Starks.
Thank you. The good ones, anyway. Yes. I don't need any vibes. More voodoo on me.
Yes. Get that voodoo out of here.
Get that voodoo out of here. Unless that's the religion that you practice, in which case it's fine.
Yes.
Okay. So, Mari and Chappelle and I are your connect, and we got y'all for Snowfall. We are covering the final season of the epic show Snowfall, which I cannot say enough positive things about. Marissa Garza and I are recapping you, and as we record this podcast tomorrow, March 9th, You part 2 of season 4 airs on Netflix. It all drops. So we're finally going to figure out what this ridiculous season is about, because we don't know. So please tune in for that. Of course, I'm here with you doing Versus, and we're going to continue that later in the month. I stopped by Post Show Recaps Theater to talk about the movie Women Talking with Ariel and Grace, and that was a really good time about a very, very important and somber subject. So I hope that you listen to that. I was recently on a Crime Scene with Mari again and Sarah Carradine, where we talked about one of my favorite movies from last year, She Said, and we had a good time talking about the true crime angle of that. I am on the feedback show for The Mandalorian because my sweet, sweet baby and Pedro Pascal Cinematic Universe, they have returned. So me and DM Philly and Brandon Fitzpatrick are going to be talking all of your feedback about that show, as well as our opinions. And finally, I learned recently that Top Chef, the new season of Top Chef, also drops tomorrow. So me and Kurt and Haley are going to be doing that over at the RHAP feed because I like to be a part of reality and scripted TV things. That's just how I roll.
I like how you roll. I think how you roll is good. How do you think the folks at how would Top Chef Silver Lake go down?
I mean, there's a real absence of proteins.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. We're eating a lot of vegetarian dishes.
Hopefully in the post-David world. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, those are my 800 things that I am apparently podcasting about. Oh, I'll be on the Poker Face podcast again with Ariel and Grace. I'm going to be doing the series and finale.
Yeah.
Of that show. Yeah, I think that's everything.
That's a lot. That's a lot, LaTanya. Are you having fun? Are you okay?
Are you having fun yet, LaTanya?
Are you having fun yet?
I am having a lot of fun.
Good.
Are you?
No.
Oh, no.
No, I'm having a blast. There's a lot happening in the TV space. The thing that I keep trumpeting is that Daily Succession podcast, as we are on the march to the March 26th final season premiere of Succession, and we are currently recapping every single episode of Succession in our Succession podcast feed, going back through every single last one of these episodes, and we're doing it for a first watch friendly crowd. So if you've never checked out Succession and you want a podcast companion, not too late to join in the fun. postshowrecaps.com/succession is the RSS link for that. I also want to give shouts to the Rob and Josh show this week. Rob and I talked about Megan. Podcasted about Megan. It's very fun. Had a great time.
I can't
believe
you had a Megan podcast and I was not invited.
It's really early when we record. It's not really conducive to guests, the Rob and Josh show. We would have to like change a lot of stuff around. So we'll figure it out someday.
I got to listen. I got to hear Rob's opinion.
It was fun.
Megan.
It was fun. It was fun. It was a really fun conversation, as always, with Rob. I think people will enjoy it. And next week on the Rob and Josh show, oh, I'm holding my nose and I'm cannonballing back into the Fijian Sea. Rob and I are going to talk some Survivor on the Rob and Josh show next week. Yeah, I got curious. I haven't watched the show since 41.
Yeah.
Two whole seasons have passed and I have no idea what happened in them.
Yep.
I don't know that I'm going to watch 44 other than the two episodes that I will watch for the podcast. I'm curious to check it out and just like get conversant in it again. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute. This used to matter to me a whole lot.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can't have fun. So good. It should be a really fun podcast coming up. If you've got feedback for that, you go to postshowrecaps.com/ask. That will go to Rob and myself. postshowrecaps.com/ask for any feedback for the Rob and Josh show. The Last of Us versus Station 11 concludes next week on the podcast. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.